Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're glad that you've joined us today, and we welcome you to this new year and this new opportunity to hear the Word of God. Amen. From God's book, the Bible. The Bible has outlived every book that's ever been printed. It is still the bestseller, believe it or not, all over the world. The biggest selling book in the worldwide is the Bible in all the different languages. It has a singular central message, and that is that a man is a great sinner and Jesus is a great Savior. Praise God. Amen. We can be delivered and set free, forgiven and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So I still love to tell the old story of Jesus and His love, and we're getting ready to get back into the Word of God today with some very personal, practical help to help us live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus and to live our lives responsibly and effectively and with joy and fulfillment. So please stay tuned today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, please stay tuned today, because in this broadcast we want you to see God's great, wonderful love for you and for me. Praise the Lord. If you're listening in North Florida, we are so glad that you've joined us. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you. If you downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you today to gather around the Word of God with us and break the bread of life. Praise God. Amen. We've got a great subject today. I'm kind of chomping at the bits here. I'm ready to get into this message, because I took it to heart in the preparation of it as I studied the scriptures, and it's helping me right now to live my life apart from the momentum of the pace of this busy world, so that I can speak to God more frequently, and so that He can speak to me as well through His Word and by His Spirit. Lord, help me to slow down is the title of our message today from the Word of God in our study. Getting out of the rat race and getting ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we have to get out of the rat race. And while I'm talking about rat race, I'm reminded of Lily Tomlin, the comedian, that said, she said, you know, remember, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I just don't want to be part of the herd. And I don't want the world about me to set the pace of my life. I mean, we've got to render to Caesar. We've got to go to work. We've got to keep appointments. But there are in-between times that we have and must take and make an opportunity to enter into the presence of God, to prepare our hearts for the Word of God. And so whatever you're doing today, if you're part of the rat race, and we all are to some degree, it's time to come aside for a little while and listen to the clear teachings of Scripture. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. Listen to what Jesus said about the rat race and how to get out of it, how we must get out of it. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." I want to read that from the Amplified. Listen carefully today. I myself want to slow down as we approach this study and not try to hurry for time's sake. Listen carefully. "But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the entire earth. Keep awake and watch at all times. Be discreet, attentive, and ready, praying that you have the full strength and ability and be accounted worthy to escape all these things taken together that will take place and to stand in the presence of the Son of Man. Now, the co-author of treating type A behavior, this is what he said. He said there's a growing sickness that is common to modern man. And this is how he describes it. He says, a continuous struggle, an unremitting attempt to accomplish or achieve more and more things or participate in more and more events in less and less time. You know, Jesus gave us some other warnings about this warning of being too busy to recognize the times that we're living, too busy to prepare for eternity, too busy trapped in time to think about or prepare for eternity. Some of the things he said was about his coming was as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. They ate, they drank, they married, and they builded, and did not know till the flood came and took them all away. They didn't take time to listen to a preacher of righteousness named Noah, because the Bible said he was more than an ark builder, friend. According to Hebrews 11, now Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That meant the 120 years that he was building the ark, he was preaching that a judgment was coming, but everyone was too busy to listen. They took none of those warnings seriously. And one of the reasons that warnings go unheeded is because we're just too busy to listen, too self-indulgent to see the coming judgment, too engrossed in this world to prepare for a next. You know, Jesus spoke a parable about a rich man, and his barns were full. He had more than he could ever use. And he looked at those full barns, and he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear these barns down. I'm going to build me bigger barns so that it can hold even more grain. And Jesus said, thou fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of thee. Tonight your soul is going to slip out of your body and head for eternity to live somewhere forever and ever. Then whose shall these things be? What will all of that matter? I'm going to read what I quoted a while ago. Listen, from Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 through 39. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In other words, people predicting the precise time of Christ's coming will always end up making false predictions. But he's telling us that though no man know when it's going to happen, but not even the angels, but the Father only, he's also telling us it's going to happen. And it's going to happen in an hour we think not. But he goes on to say, but as it was in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. One paraphrase says it this way in a very practical way, friends. When the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered into his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That's the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. I don't know a more descriptive analogy of our day than what we just read. We are in a real rat race today, and everyone feels the stress and the pressure of it. You may say, preacher, you may ask the question I ask, what's wrong with a party, a banquet, a wedding? It's requisite. When there was no wine at the wedding, Jesus turned the water into wine so that there could be a full celebration of an event that Christ so highly honored with his presence and with his miracles. So what's wrong with building a home for you and your family? What's wrong with having a barbecue on the 4th of July? There's no sin in and of itself in any of these things. What is being communicated here is that they were doing all these things without any preparation for eternity. They were doing all these things with no regard for where they're going to spend eternity. No regard for God and where he fit in the busyness and the self-indulgent pleasures of life. There was no place for God. God isn't mentioned. God isn't acknowledged. They were living, if there was no heaven or no hell, no eternity, nowhere to go after this life is over. And they were living their life foolishly. And they were not taking time to deal with the greatest issues of life. You know, if you get this right and you get Christ as your Savior and God as your Father and your sins are forgiven, listen, God loves barbecues. When the prodigal son came home, the father said, go and kill the fatted calf. When people repented in Israel in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, when Ezra preached from a pulpit of wood and they heard the word after all of those years in captivity, they were pricked in their heart. They repented with tears. And he told them, all right, you've repented now. Now that you're back right with God, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, celebrate that joy with a banquet. There's nothing wrong with banquets and parties and weddings and building a home and a life for your family. What's wrong is they did it with no regard for where their soul was going to spend eternity. They were just too busy to think about what's going to happen to everybody. One day this body is going to drop and our spirit is going to go somewhere forever. Friend of mine, I want to make sure that my spirit enters into God's presence and that I live in God's heaven. Hallelujah. Friend, this is the most important event of our life, is our death and where we spend eternity. And all God is saying is get that right, and then you can build. But you'll build with a perspective that this house is temporary. This is where I'm going to live with my family temporarily. You know, the New Testament said we should see ourselves as pilgrims and strangers. We shouldn't see ourselves as long-time inhabitants of the earth, but a people on a pilgrimage just passing through. I like the old camp meeting hymn that's so theologically correct. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. Praise God. That's the way to live in this world. Everything's passing. You know, the Bible said again, while we look not at the things which are seen, everything that we see that seems so permanent and so eternal, he said, that's not the truth about those things. Everything you see is temporal, which means subject to change. But we don't look at the things which are seen. We look past those things to the things that are unseen, for they are eternal. Praise God. You have an eternal soul. No one can see it. They can't see it in the human body, but it exists. You can't see God visibly. God is a spirit, but there is absolutely no doubt that he exists. Praise God. Amen. I want you to know today that God is calling the church, the Christian, out of the rat race so that he can prepare us for his soon coming. And he's calling the world, people that don't know him, out of the rat race so that he can draw them to himself, so that he can convince them of their sin and their need for a Savior, and at the same time show them the wonderful, wonderful grace and love available in Jesus Christ. Friends, I really believe that the pace that we're all pushed to live our lives is influenced by the God of this world. And I don't mean Jesus, and I don't mean Jehovah. I'm talking about the devil, the one who man bowed to and who influences the wickedness of this world. Many Christians are just too busy, even for church today. I'm talking about us, too busy to develop an intimate walk with God called a prayer life. Too busy to bear one another's burdens. Too busy to look upon the fields, to seize the opportunity to witness for Jesus. Too busy to develop a personal relationship with Jesus. When we pray in our haste, we seek only answers, not intimacy. We want help, not Him. And God has designed prayer to begin primarily to bring us into a mouth-to-mouth relationship with Him, to a communication with Him, through a communion with Him. Praise God. Amen. And we are constantly running, always hurrying from place to place. In our society, we value motion and hold up busyness as a special sign of significance. We say things like, "Oh, you're so busy, you must be very important." I don't believe that any culture has ever tried to negotiate a faster-paced lifestyle than ours. It used to be that if you missed the stagecoach, it didn't matter. You know why? There would be another one next week. But now, even a few minutes' delay drives us into depression, anxiety, and anger. We're not just sick from worry, we're becoming sick from hurry. Some time ago, I was reading in a newspaper in Tacoma, Washington. It carried the story of Tattoo, the basset hound. Tattoo didn't intend to go for an evening run one day, but when his owner accidentally shut his leash in the car door and took off for a drive, Tattoo had no choice. A motorcycle officer named Terry Filbert noticed a passing vehicle with something that appeared to be dragging behind it. When he got closer, he saw Tattoo, the basset hound. Officer Filbert finally chased the car and caused it to stop, and Tattoo was rescued. But not before the poor dog reached a speed of 20 to 30 miles an hour and rolled over several times. By the way, Tattoo has not asked to go out for an evening walk for a long, long time. I think many of us live lives like Tattoo. The fast-paced schedule of our culture pulls us alongside at speeds we weren't meant to handle. And trying to maintain this mile-a-minute lifestyle harms us in so many ways. One of the personal, practical ways that hurry sickness, as I've phrased it, hurts us is through the damage it does to our relationships. See, when we rush around trying to do more than we should, we get so task-oriented that people become inconveniences. You all know, have seen the stories on television of a child wanting to speak to their parent, and their parent is so involved in the football game or the Facebook or the computer or the newspaper that they won't even look up to communicate. Perhaps you've seen the poster that pictures a dad and his 7 or 8 year old son in an old rowboat on a little lake. It's early in the morning, and there's a faint mist still on the water, and the father and son are sitting there, quiet and still. They're each holding bamboo fishing poles, and two corks attached to their lines are floating motionless on the placid water. Underneath the picture are two words: take time. Ah, how significant those two words are to us. I believe the Lord is speaking to someone. I know the Lord is speaking to me right now. Take time. Take time to read the Bible. Not out of duty, but because you want to hear God speak to your heart. in all of the thunder, all of the sound, the cacophony of sound that's all around us, to get into a quiet place somewhere. You know, he says you can't even pray intimately and personally till you enter into your closet and shut to the door. You gotta find a place. If you live in the mountains, go down a trail, get away from the interstate, get away from the television, get away from the MP3 player, get away from the sounds and all the things that are just bombarding us, and take time to reflect upon our life, our loved ones, God, eternity. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord, take time to think about your soul. Don't be like the rich man who said, I've got it all and I'm going to get even more, with no regard for what would happen if his heart stopped. And friend, make no mistake about it, one day all our hearts are going to stop. But we're not going to stop. We're going to go on. And we're going to live somewhere forever. And God wants you to be sure, when that day comes, that you're going to live with him in heaven. It all changes when we just take time. Take time for your loved ones. Take time for your son or your daughter, your mother, your father. Oh, I've preached so many funerals in 40 years total of ministry, 38 right here as pastor of this church in Tampa. And how many children have I seen that didn't take time to tell their mother, their father, their sister or brother, their child, how much they love them? Take time to communicate. They were always going to someday, but it just never happened. And now they're gathered around a casket somewhere, and there's all kinds of elaborate flowers, trying to say to someone who can't hear anymore how much they really, really cared about them. Take time. Take time. You know, I really don't care if there's a flower at my funeral, because I'm not going to be here to see it. I'm going to be with the Lord. If you want to say something to me, say it now. I need it in the now. I need to hear it in the now from my family and from my friends. And you need to hear it in the now. And God needs you to hear him in the now. Take time. Take time. Well, people infected with this hurry sickness are too busy to take time for people. Even the people they say they love. Many marriages that were once healthy have been devastated by this disease. Lewis Grant states that one of the side effects of hurry sickness is what he calls sunset fatigue. Sunset fatigue is when you're just too tired, too drained, too preoccupied to love the people to whom we have made the deepest promises. When we come home at the end of a hectic day's work, those who need our love the most, those to whom we are most committed, end up getting the leftovers. Hurry sickness can cause great relational change, but it also damages us emotionally. Busy people often fall into the trap of trying to hydroplane over the surface of their emotions. They don't have time to deal with things like feelings. You see, love and hurry are fundamentally incompatible. Love always takes time. And time is, of course, one thing that hurried people just don't have. Oh, friend of mine, I don't know. I'm constantly challenged when I read the words of Jesus. Let not your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief. And when I live in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, that same new perspective, that taking time to think about what is truly important, will cause me to take time for my dear wife, my two sons, my friends, my people at church that we take for granted. They're so faithful. We just know they're going to be there, and it's no big deal. It is a big deal. That person whose prayers you have such confidence in, if they pray with you, you feel like you could tackle anything, because you know they're touching God for you. Oh, I want to take time to tell them. more this year than I've ever told them, just how precious they are to me. Someone who would call my name daily before the Lord, knowing that when I'm having that bad day, and we all have them, that someone is interceding. Someone is taking time to pray for me. And if they're taking time to pray, they can hear the voice of God tell them particularly what I might be facing, and they can pray specifically, strengthen him or deliver him or keep him from the enemy or encourage him. Ah, the Holy Spirit knows what I need, and he wants to divulge it to someone so they can pray in my behalf. But that takes time. Praise God. Amen. And the time is the thing that seems like we find for fishing. We find for hunting. We find for yard sailing. Well, I keep using one lady. I see her every time I say yard sale, because she got up before the roosters on yard sale day, before the people, an announced yard sale at a big old house with a big old garage that it hasn't even been set out yet. She would go up and knock on the door and say, when are you going to set that stuff out and get people up? Sometimes make them mad, but she got first pick, and she got some great bargains before the collectors got there. And then we come along. I tell you, wait till afternoon. Most of the good stuff is gone. The real good deals of quality stuff, friend of mine. It takes time to do anything. And you know, whatever we love, we find time for. And whoever we love, we need to find time for. Love has to go beyond just words. We have to show that with quality time. And this is an hour, I'll tell you something, it'd be better you live in a smaller house and take time for your kids than to live in the most wonderful house you ever dreamed with no time for your family and watch them fragment, fall apart, and drift away as time goes on. Oh, take time. Take time, if you don't know Jesus today, to consider where your soul is going to spend eternity. Take time right now. Right now. Because you're not promised another breath. Ah, friend, don't be like the foolish man. Take time and come before the Lord earnestly and sincerely and say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to be here when the tribulation breaks upon the earth. I don't want it to catch me unprepared. Right now, I'm going to do like that old camp meeting song that says the old account was settled long ago. I want to settle it, that there's a place for God in my life, and it's not last place, it's first place. And I invite you to come into my heart, save my soul, forgive my sin in the name of Jesus Christ. Take time to do that right now. And then you can live your life, look at the newspapers, read the Bible. You can know, surely, Jesus is coming soon, but that's okay. Because there's nothing I would like better than to see him coming in the sky. Hallelujah. And if he tarries and my heart stops, I know I'm ready. When my spirit leaves my body, I know where it's going to go. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And I can live my life now with that perspective, and because of that, I can look at my wife differently, my children, my job, my friends. I can look at each day and thank him for the time that he's given me to enjoy it. And I can look past time to eternity without any fear. Ah, friend of mine, pray that prayer. Invite Jesus into your heart. Confess your sins. Become a Christian. Hallelujah. And then eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Build the home. Marry your sweetheart. And all will be well, because it won't take you away from God. And if you're a Christian today, get in church. Get in the Word of God. Get in the prayer closet. Spend time with God. And God will surely speak to you and keep you close and safe. Well, we love you. Would you come back next week? Take the time and let's talk about Jesus.